open a subcommittee of the subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee. It's a mouthful, but I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5512, which is the Council on Court Procedures. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the subcommittee of the subcommittee of the subcommittee of the Ways and Means Committee. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you briefly about Senate Bill 5512 and the budget for the Council on Court Procedures. I'm here simply today to advocate on behalf of the Council on Court Procedures and the role that it plays generally in the issues of law improvement in the state of Oregon. And I come at it from somewhat of a unique perspective as the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, knowing full well that the work that the Council does with respect to the rules of civil procedure would be work that would otherwise have to be being done by the Judiciary Committee and eventually by the other legislators in this institution were it not for the good work of the Council. I won't bore you with the details of how the Council is organized. I think all of you have probably read your materials and are experienced enough in this process to recognize how the Council is organized. But it creates a balanced approach, particularly to the management and changes with respect to the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure. And the work that it does is painstaking in its detail and in its scope. And for those people who practice, particularly in the area of litigation that rely on the rules of civil procedure, the work of the Council is invaluable. And some people might then take that point and say, well, this is really just a system that's for lawyers and lawyers only. But obviously lawyers don't practice for fun. They practice for clients and citizens of this state who are benefited by the good work of the Council on Court Procedures in the development and management of Oregon's rules of civil procedure. The Council operates and has operated leanly. I recognize, and I think the folks involved with the Council on Court Procedures recognize that in this austere budget environment, changes are going to be necessary. I think that you, Mr. Chairman, and others have worked out a plan that will allow the Council to continue to operate during this biennium, and I want to make sure, and I understand that staff has investigated this and feels comfortable that no additional statutory changes are necessary in order to keep the Council's statutory authority or the rules of civil procedure intact. To the extent that that's put on the record and is made very clear in the institution and at the time that the budget is in its form is carried to the floor of the House, that's certainly going to be satisfactory to me. But I do think it's important to emphasize that, in my view, this is a budget that's worthy of support. This is an area that affects a large number of Oregonians, both directly and indirectly, and I hope in better times that we'll be able to recognize that sort of the short-term austerity measures we're taking with respect to the Council on Court Procedures are just that, that they're short-term, and that we will hopefully be in a position to continue to fund the Council appropriately with the general fund revenues that have been previously provided because it does have a broad, substantial impact on folks throughout the state. So those are just my sort of brief supportive comments, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your efforts on this issue, and you and I know we've spent a fair amount of time talking about how to make this work, and I'd be pleased to submit to any questions that the committee would have.
Questions for Representative Williams. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Williams, do we have any feel for the 23-member council who would be responsible for reviewing and amending the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure? They would continue to meet without compensation and work under the arrangements they have present with the university.
That is correct, as I understand it, Representative Butler. And Maury Holland, who's the executive director for the council and also employed with the university, is here today and can speak to you in more detail. But everybody involved in this process, the members of the council feel strongly enough about it that they're intending to make sacrifices of their own resources to participate I think you've got a strong commitment from the Oregon State Bar and the value of the effort that's done at the council and the management of these issues. You need to understand that, you know, changing a period or a comma or a word or the operation of a rule of civil procedure, is a very serious matter for those who actually practice. They take it seriously, as they should. The implications on litigants are serious. So much thought and consideration is given to these issues, and were it not so, you would see sort of a bit of a helter-skelter approach to this issue, which ultimately would then rest with the legislature to try to fix these issues. And so it's within everyone's best interest, I think, to continue an organized, thoughtful approach to how this goes forward. And I think they feel strongly enough about it, Representative Butler, for at least the short term. I think they're willing to make those choices. Again, I would suggest to you that I don't think that that's a long-term solution or a way we ought to be doing it, and I hope that this committee will make that a part of the record and in the future sessions, when times are better, consider doing what we ought to be doing with respect to this particular agency.
Follow up. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick follow-up, then, Representative. How was the $8,000 per biennium to reimburse the council member for travel expenditures arrived at, Representative?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Butler, I'm not sure that I know the answer with respect to the details on that. I'm sure that Mr. Holland or even LFO staff could give you a better understanding of the specifics of that figure.
Thank you.
Further questions for Representative Williams? If not,
thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for taking me first.
You bet. Just for the audience, we are going to continue over House Bill 5046 until tomorrow. We will not be considering that today because of testimony that we were to receive from some people, so that will be carried over. I know people are here for that particular issue. Let's continue the public hearing on Senate Bill 5512. Dr. Holland. Do you want to come out, as well as Kathleen Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'd like to introduce Ms. Kathleen Clark, who's here at the table, who is the vice chair and incoming chair of the council, and could answer questions. And also to thank you and the members of this committee for taking time out of your frantically busy schedule for this relatively minor matter, although, as Representative Williams just said, it's fairly important to the legal system in Oregon that the council continue.
I'd like to briefly explain the arrangement that has been reached, and perhaps that will also answer Representative Butler's question. Professor Holland has agreed to volunteer his time so that there will be no need for a salary for the executive director's position. The University of Oregon has agreed to offer office space and postage and general office supplies, as it has been doing in the past. That amounts to about $4,000 that they will be donating in terms of clerical backup. The clerical assistant has, I understand, may be volunteering part of the time. Also, members of the council have volunteered to take over that function. Judge Dan Harris in Klamath, in Medford, has volunteered to take on some of those projects, and so have I, to the extent that they're necessary. The bar gives the $8,000. That's where that $8,000 figure comes, and that has traditionally been used for travel expenses for members who are coming from a distance, primarily judicial members. The members from, for instance, Judge Isingson from Klamath Falls and Judge Barron from downstate, they travel fairly long distances to come once a month to the council meetings, and that's what the $8,000 is for. The bar is also going to give us a telephone connection. When members cannot make it to the meeting from downstate, we'll be able to connect them by telephone, and has offered, of course, as usual, the room for the meeting. And we meet monthly during the year prior to the legislative session. So those are the arrangements. As a result of that, we will be able to function under these extraordinary circumstances without any general fund budget line item from the budget in the budget for this biennium. I want to emphasize, I'm not sure how long we could continue that, but at least for this biennium and given the extraordinary budget circumstances that the legislature faces, that is the arrangement that the council is willing to make so that it continue to function. I would like to emphasize we're assuming that we don't need any change, any statutory change, to have authority to function, and I think that's what the legislative council has said, and we're assuming that there will not be the percentage assessment because there's no line item in the budget that goes to risk, I believe risk management is what that goes for, and since there's no budget line item, there should not be that either coming out of our $8,000 for travel expenses that the bar is donating. So that is, in summary, is the arrangement that we have made. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Questions for Ms. Clark or Dr. Holland?
Dr. Holland, I'd like to personally thank you. You're making a huge sacrifice on behalf of yourself, and I know that you have been a long-standing professor there and someone who people within the legal community truly respect. And I personally want to tell you that I appreciate the sacrifice. This is very, very important. And maybe as a lawyer I realize that more than others, but I do believe that the rest of the committee does realize and realizes the sacrifice you and the members of the Council on Court Procedures are making, as well as the State Bar, to keep our system functioning. And I just want to extend my personal thanks on behalf of myself and, frankly, I think I could speak for the people in the state of Oregon who don't realize that they benefit and who would never realize they benefit from the work that you do and the work that your council does. So
thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It isn't all that much of a sacrifice because my chance as an academic of working with people like Catherine Clark and other real-life lawyers and real-life judges is more than worth it. But I thank you for your remarks.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to reiterate what you said and expressing gratitude and thanks to Dr. Holland. Dr. Holland, I think you were the very first and the very last that has come forward and said, "This is my department is important enough that, by golly, I'll work for nothing to keep, everything tied together." And a lot of folks have come to us both this committee and the other several committees of subcommittees that have worked together in the Ways and Means process and said, my department is important. But very few of them have said, hey, wait a minute, I'll keep body and soul together working at the gas station if I have to and continue to donate and volunteer my time because the job which this particular commission is doing is so important and so... the council's work is important, and we recognize that, and we do appreciate your coming forward and not just paying lip service to it, but actually giving blood, sweat, and tears to it as well. I appreciate that sincerely. Thank you.
Representative Hampson.
Just a couple quick comments in that same vein. Very much appreciate the sacrifice, not only that you've made, but the members of the committee, the bar, and continuing their support of. As a non-lawyer, I think I realize how important your work is that you do. It serves not just the legal community, but it serves anybody that has a reason to be in court. And that's real important. The other thing that I think it's important to stress, this is a two-year, one biennium almost solution. And it's something that we can't expect. That level of sacrifice should go on indefinitely. And next biennium, if I'm back, I'll certainly be trying to work to restore funding to a much more workable level.
All right. Can we see if Senator Schroeder's here? Why don't we go ahead, Monica, why don't you go ahead and walk through the LFO recommendation that you have?
Okay. Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, as you're probably aware, this agency has been suspended as of April 1st, and the co-chair's budget had intended to continue that suspension through 03-05 until obviously the very interested parties came forward and said, give us an opportunity to present an alternative for minimal operation, which is what's been presented to you this morning, or this afternoon. LFO's recommendation is then to approve an a budget of $8,000, other funds for the contribution from the state bar. There would be no FTE in this budget during 0305. And just to touch on a couple of issues that were raised, I did speak with legislative counsel concerning the issues of continuing an operation with essentially all volunteer staff, no paid staff, and looking at their operating statutes. Legislative counsel did not see any concerns with this agency moving forward. There may be one revision that we suggest later in a cleanup bill that just makes everything subject to available funds, but I think that that's well understood in the budget that would be approved. So legislative counsel wasn't concerned whether that language was or was not in their operative statutes. And I also spoke with the Department of Administrative Services concerning the waiving of the state government service charges, which is assessed to all agencies. For this agency, that amount was slated to be $7,500 for the entire biennium, so really very minimal. DAS was concerned about the precedent that it might set, but I think it's well understood that this is a one-time kind of fix. It's not going to be a broad-based approach for all agencies, and on a very small one-time basis that would be acceptable and probably no harm done to state agencies that get their fees in that manner. So that is LFO's recommendation as it came from the work group.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I thought that's why the state bar was donating the $8,000 was to just pay the DAS service charge. Right? I note that the legislative fiscal's recommendation is to delete Section 1, which would leave in Sections 2 and 3, which would then be renumbered Sections mm-hmm. 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will we'll wait till Representative Schrader gets here. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 5512? All right. Thanks, Monica. And we will now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 302A. Judy, do you want to give us the quick rundown?
Senate Bill 302A would require a person entering a driving under the influence of intoxicant or DUI diversion agreement to enter a guilty or no contest plea and pay court-appointed attorney's fees as determined by the court. Would require the court to withhold entry of that conviction if the person successfully completes diversion. Currently, someone may go into a diversion program without first pleading guilty. Only if they fail to meet the terms of the agreement does the case go forward to trial or settlement. Proponents of this bill argue the change would motivate those in diversion programs to complete treatment while saving police agencies, courts, prosecutors, and court-appointed defense attorneys the time that would be spent otherwise litigating DUI motions and trials. Opponents argue that requiring a guilty plea as a condition of diversion would move more cases to trial immediately. We have analyzed the fiscal impact of this measure, believe there may be a cost associated with the change in the form of additional use of public defense services by those persons without the resources to pay for the legal fees. How much of an impact, however, is not readily quantified. If the cumulative impact of bills passed this session that impact the public safety system require additional general fund resources, this could be considered in an intersession bill. We also considered the proponents' arguments that the bill will result in savings from avoiding motions and trials that now occur under the existing law, especially savings from overtime for police officers required to appear. While this may also occur, we believe that the overtime and other savings not used for these cases would be redirected into other cases or law enforcement activities.
All right. Any questions for Judy? All right. Doug, do you and Kamala want to come forward?
Chair Patrick, members of the committee, my name is Doug Harkleroad. I'm the district attorney in Lane County, and with your permission, Kamala Sugar, an assistant district attorney in our office, will go first, and then I'll back clean up. Is that
right.
Okay?
That's what good DAs are supposed to do, let their deputies go forth and do good things. So I'm glad you follow in that tradition, Doug. Go ahead.
Chair Patridge and members of the committee, my name is Kamala Sugar. I'm an assistant DA in Lane County and have been for almost the past 7 years. I currently supervise the misdemeanor team of lawyers that handle all of the DUII cases in Lane County. This bill is a DUII reform bill. It requires defendants to plead guilty in order to enter the diversion program. We believe that the entry of a guilty plea will motivate defendants charged with DUII to complete their treatment at a higher rate. We have had other forms of diversion in Lane County that we had attempted to offer the entry into that diversion without the upfront guilty plea, and have found a greater success with our deferred sentencing, deferred adjudication programs that require a guilty plea. There's just simply the stick hanging behind the person as opposed to the carrot. And there is somewhat of a carrot, too, because if you do successfully complete, it's still the guilty plea is vacated and the result is exactly the same. There is a no-contest plea available in this bill. With that, I don't believe that more cases will be moved to trial as a result of this requirement. The majority of the DUII cases I see involve the failure of a breath test with a blood alcohol content of a 0.08 or higher. The majority of those people who blew over a 0.08 know that they are guilty of driving under the influence. The majority of those cases that do get litigated on technical issues regarding the officer's operation of a breath test machine, not on the issue of whether the defendant is guilty or not, but can they get off on a technical violation. Most people, I believe, will not choose to roll the dice on whether they can get off on a technical violation when they know that if they enter a guilty plea and go through some classes, that they can get the charge erased from their record. This is a bill that will bring the diversion laws in Oregon into line with many other states around the country. I believe it will also cut down on the number of hearings. Today, when I was in court, I actually had two cases that involved DUII diversion hearings where people had between 5 and 10 court appearances just during the period of their diversion, failing to attend classes, failing to attend the victim impact panel, and we were still litigating the case. Police agencies were still holding the evidence on that case because the case still could go to trial. And so if you have questions, I can continue or I can take questions.
Okay. Are there any questions from the committee? All right. Doug, my preference is if there are not questions from the committee on this and the other people who are signed up to testify, we're having trouble getting people here, and I'd rather just send the bill out unless there are people who are opposed to it who came to testify before the committee, because we have the votes that are available and Senator Schrader has to go do some other things. So if you're okay with that?
Very okay with that.
All right. Thank you. All right.
You have a work session yet?
No, I got to open. Let me open my work sessions. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 302 right now. That's the DUII bill that we have before us that we just heard testimony about. Judy, any questions?
Mr.
Chairman, Senator Devlin.
Senate Bill 302A engrossed to the full committee with the UCAS recommendation.
Senator Devlin moves the Senate Bill 302 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Senate Bill 302. Carriers. Senator Devlin. I'll carry.
Okay. You carry. Who's carrying?
I'll carry in the full in the Senate. Carry in the House. I don't want to be in the Senate. All right. We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 302A. We're going to open a work session on, you got to stay here, Kurt, 5512, Senate Bill 5512.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
I would first move that we amend Senate Bill 5512 as recommended for the deletion of Section 1 as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office. Conceptual amendment.
Representative Butler moves the LFO recommendation regarding Senate Bill 5512. Any questions?
Comments?
Objections? Seeing none? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5512 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Butler moves Senate Bill 5512 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Seeing none? So ordered. Carriers. Senator Devlin, Representative Butler. Do you guys want to flip for who carries it in there?
Representative Butler.
Thank you. All right.
With that, the Senate is concerned with making the right decision.
Oh, okay. You're the more thoughtful body. I forget. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5046. I'm going to continue over the work session until tomorrow.
Thursday.
Are we doing Thursday, Doug? On House Bill 5046, continue the work session over until this Thursday, which would be the 10th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I'm going to close the public safety subcommittee.